when he says light or lamp. When we think of light, we think of electricity. Walk in, flip a light, and boom, we have lights. That's not what happens in the Bible. The Bible has its firelight. It's a light of fire. It's a lamp. So oil with a wick and a light given off. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, ye are the light of the world. Speaking to people, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. There's something about a city when it's lit up at night that's attractive. Judy and I went up to Buffalo. We were going to the Niagara Falls, and we went via New York. And once we crossed this bridge, we were able to look up the bay. We were able to see the Statue of Liberty at night, lit. And we were able to look over into Manhattan. And it looked so attractive that we went in to Manhattan at 11 o'clock at night. Now, it has to look pretty attractive. But there's something about a city that's lit that's attractive to people. You are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill. You are the new Jerusalem coming down with the glory of God. You should be able to display a light and an attractiveness that draws people to you. You're the light of the world. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You don't put it under a bushel and hide the light. You put it on something so that it gives light to everything that's around. And then Jesus clearly tells us what the light is. What your light is and what my light is, he clearly identifies. And he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What is the light? What does Jesus say the light is? Your good works. Your good works. Five were wise and five were foolish. Five had their lights lit. Five went out. What happened? What happened? Jesus is telling the parable. Five kept their good works going. They had a supply. Five didn't have any more good works, and their light went out. What are you doing in the kingdom? What am I doing in the kingdom? What am I doing to produce a light, a good works? What am I doing? What is this church doing? What are we doing? Now, every time I do this, I always feel like I've got to do this because I know that some people will say, well, you know, the Bible says, and Martin Luther had the revelation of it, that I'm not saved by works, but I am saved by grace. Right? Well, let's look at the passage just to make certain that I'm on track, because you're right. The Bible does say that. So let's read not only that passage, but let's read its context, because I think it's so vitally important. For by grace are you saved through faith. How are you saved?
By grace
are you saved through faith. And that what? It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. You didn't do anything to get this. It's a gift of God. In other words, what he's saying here is you're not saved by works. You are not saved by anything you ever did. There's nothing you can do to get into the kingdom of God. Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. Then he says this. He says that no man can come in except through me. You see, we can't come in except there's nothing we can do. We can't give enough money. We can't do anything to get into the kingdom of God to work our salvation. Can't get in any way except through grace. It's through grace by faith. Not of works, lest you could boast about it. But don't stop there. And that's where a lot of us with that thinking think. Because you have to see it in a B.C. and an A.D. perspective. Before Jesus, before you come to Christ Jesus, there was nothing you could do. Nothing you could do to get in. But once you're in Jesus, you were created. You were put into the body. You were created a new creature in Him to do good works. Look, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What should we be walking in? Good works. You can't do anything to get in it. That's B.C. But A.D., after you are here, there is a reason that you were created to come into here. And don't let your lamp go out. What is it that you're to do? Why were you created? What were you created to walk in, to live in, to do in the kingdom of God? That is your light. A scary part of this is in the book of Revelation chapter 20. We read about the great white throne judgment. He says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Next verse. Now please look at this. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Listen, there is a day coming when everybody will be judged according to their works. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you died in the ocean or if you got burned alive. I don't care if you just died natural causes. One day we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God, and He's going to judge us according to works. Your name is there because of something you did. Next verse. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man. How many? Every man. According to their work, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Next verse. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Why was your name found in the book of life? Please hear me. Again, I can't get into all of this. We've done several ministering times on this, but Jesus sent the disciples out in Luke chapter 10. Sent them out to minister to people. They come back rejoicing because the demons were subject to them. He says, rejoice not. The demons are subject to you, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Why now was their name written in heaven when it wasn't written before they went? Because they went out and they did good works. You're created unto good works. You're called into this thing for a purpose. You've been given a lamp to bring glory to the Father. Don't let the lamp run out. Put oil in your vessels. Next frame. Revelation 20:13 says they were judged every man according to their works. The oil is symbolic of something also. The oil. Oil is symbolic of the anointing. Look at this. There's massive passages that show you the symbolisms of oil and anointing. The high priest or the priest and all were anointed in Exodus 29:7. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour upon his head and anoint him. The oil is the anointing. The oil is the anointing. 10 speaks of the total. The lamp is the light that we are. The oil is the anointing. The priests were anointed. David was anointed of Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:3 in the midst of his brothers. And at that time the Spirit of God came upon him. Now, the priests were anointed to do something. Were they not? Or were they just had a little oil put on their head? We could just get a little Brill cream or whatever we use today. If that's all, it doesn't mean that. They're anointed to do something. They're anointed to minister to the people. They have been given a gift and an ability and a gracing that will allow them to help people. They're anointed to minister to people. David was anointed to be the king over all of Israel. And the Spirit of God was upon him all the days of his life. Jesus was anointed. He says so. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because... Why was he anointed? Why was the Spirit of God upon him? To do something. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recover the sight of the blind. Did Jesus do something with his anointing? Did he do something with the light that he had been given? Did he take his oil and build up more oil? Did he have enough oil? You see, this is the parable. This is what he's saying. Don't stop doing what you're called to do. Don't stop doing just because it's going to take several years for me to come back. Don't stop doing what you're supposed to be doing. Be a good and faithful servant. Take care of people. I've given you talents. Multiply your talents. I've done all these things for you. Keep doing them. Don't be a goat. Be a sheep. Visit people in prison. Clothe people that are naked. Feed people that are hungry. Don't stop working in the kingdom. Let your good work so shine that you bring glory to God. Next frame. Jesus was anointed to do something in the kingdom of God. And we are anointed to do the same. Coming to the conclusion now. five foolish went to get some oil to do something, to get some oil, do some works now. It's too late to do works now. And while they were gone, the five wise went in, and the door was shut. And then the five foolish come. And they say, Lord, let us in. And the response of the Lord is shocking. In the next frame. Jesus said, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in. Here's the kicker of the whole parable. Are you ready? Oh, that was AD 70. Now, the Lord doesn't just come in one way. He came on my brother-in-law last night at 2:30 a.m. Well, a lot of times this is preached, are you ready for the rapture? Are you rapture ready? Listen, if you're not ready, if you had to meet him right now, you're not rapture ready if he comes then. Are you ready? They that are ready did what? Went in. With him to the marriage, and then the other five were told, as they came, wanted in, now verily I say unto you, I know you not. These are not shouting messages. You know, you're not jumping up and down. Because you see, we have to evaluate ourselves. We have to look at our lamp. Are we attractive? Are we doing things in the kingdom of God that set us up, that draws people to us? What are we doing? What is this church doing? What are we as individuals doing? Are we doing what I'm called to do? The good works that I was created in Christ to do, am I doing them? So then in number 9. If you had to say today, if you had to say today that you were among the wise or the foolish, which one would you have to say? Are you doing what you were created to do? And if you check the second, and probably didn't check either because you just don't want to go there, but if you were to check the second one, please read the rest that I have there. Today I would be among the five foolish virgins, but I am going to adjust that beginning right now. Don't wait until it's too late to go get some oil to do what you're called to do. All they were called to do was go out and meet the bridegroom. All they were called to do was keep that lamp burning until he came, and they couldn't do it. What you're called to do is simple. It's not hard. It's not devastating. And it doesn't mean you have to have a pulpit to preach behind or come up here and clean toilets. It's between you and the Lord. It doesn't mean you have to do anything in this particular ministry, but there is something that you're supposed to do. And you alone know if your light is lit. You know if you're doing what God's called you to do. I'm about to pray. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand if this is touching you today. This has ministered to you today. This has stirred you today. I'm not going to call you up here. I'm not going to do nothing like that. I just want to know that the Lord's speaking to us. Let's bow. Father, it's been a great day. We've praised you. We've loved you. And you've caused us to come face to face with our lamp. We're each having to look at our lamp. Is it glowing? Or is it out? Am I ready to meet your coming? Have I taken the talents that you've given me and multiplied them, or have I hidden them in a ditch? Am I a good servant, a good steward over that which you've called me to watch over? Am I a sheep or am I a goat? Do I minister to people? Do I love people? Am I a wise virgin or am I a foolish? I ask you now, Lord, as we come face to face with that reality, that you'll challenge our hearts. You'll cause us to rise up higher, that we'll be sure that our lamp is lit. Heads bowed, eyes closed.